PPI.org.
Thank you for joining Disability on Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. Good to be here with you. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
Do you know, somebody was talking to me. They're like, you know, you're saying good evening, but really, because, you know, we have an archive and you can listen to that anytime for the next 2 weeks. And we're also podcasted. So, and you can listen to that anytime. So you may not be listening in the evening after this, but hey, good whatever. I also want to remind people that if you'd like to be on our email list, you can email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. And well, I'm going to start, but we are supposed to have two people.
You do.
Oh, we do. Okay. Yay. You made it. We have Ann Chiappetta and Peter Altschul. And good evening, folks.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Anne?
Awesome. This is Peter.
Yeah. Anne should be there too. Yes.
There you go.
All right. Hi, Anne.
Hey.
Good to hear you guys. Thanks for being on. These two are going to be talking tonight about FIA, or Friends in Art. So let's start out. I was going to say, I didn't really give you an outline. This is kind of a free-for-all, but judging by if you were listening to the last show, woo! let's see. Let's start out by talking about what is and how did it get its start? What is Friends in Art and how did they get started?
So Friends in Art is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, and the history is that sometime in the 80s, early 80s, when the conventions were just getting started, some folks had the idea that it'd be fun to have sort of an event where folks sort of hung out around the piano and just sang sort of stuff, and it was just sort of an informal event. And so that was a great success. And the next step was, okay, can we formalize this somehow? And thus formed the what we call the Showcase of the Performing Arts, which is an annual variety show, which is one of the highlights of the ACB convention. And from that, the idea was, well, okay, we have this show. Can we form a sort of informal group of artists that can sort of advocate for other artists and can provide support for other artists? And thus Friends in Art, or FIA, was formed. And I'm guessing sometime in the mid 80s it was formed. And ever since then, we have grown, and we still have our annual showcase. We still do events in conjunction with conventions. We do a few other things as well, which I'm sure we'll talk about down the road. But that's who we are.
So,
and Annie, one other quick thing. Do you remember off the top of your head what our mission statement is?
Yes, Friends in Art is the place where visually impaired artists and audience members thrive.
And how did you two stumble upon Friends in Art? And when?
I sort of stumbled on it in earnest in the early 90s. I sort of knew a couple of the players informally, and I was just really busy, didn't have time to engage. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, I started participating in the showcase. I'm a composer and a percussionist, and so I did some work there. And then I was invited to join the board, or was elected to join the board. As I remember, during the meeting when I was elected to join the board, I was investigating an air hockey table for blind people. I missed the meeting because I was so enthralled with the air hockey game. But anyway, I was elected. I've been on the board in various capacities ever since. And Annie, what's your story?
Well, Peter, you're the one that that called me one day and said, "Hey, would you like to be on the board of directors for Friends in Art?" And I thought about it, and then I said, "Sure, why not?" Before then, I really didn't have, I knew about Friends in Art. I had attended some of the workshops. I was just starting out, you know, in my writing career. Mm-hmm. And I attended a couple of the poetry things, and then I had known Peter previously as well, through some of the work. We just kind of bumped into each other along the way at conventions and stuff. And then, once he asked me to do it, I said, sure, I'd give it a try. And I've had a really great experience ever since.
Excellent. Well, thank you. That was a really good history there. Now, both of you are artists, and both of you actually, I know you said you're kind of a composer, Peter, but you're also an author. And I can prove it because I've had you on my show. Haha.
You have. Yes, you have.
Annie, too.
You have.
So both of you are writers. And so how does that work? Is that okay to be on the board and still and kind of promote your writing?
We try to encourage as many different kinds of artists as possible to join the organization. And so we have folks on the board. Most of the folks on the board are musicians, but we do have authors like Annie, and we do have people who are primarily recording engineers on the board. And we are hoping that over time we will get visually impaired artists to art musicians, you know, who are painters or sculptors or dancers. We're really trying to branch out to other art types of artists. That is a goal for us over the next several years. And our showcase or our variety show, we always have several artists, writers who read their stuff during the show. And that's always fun to hear. Annie's done it for several years. I've done it a couple of times, and it's a great addition to the show.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm wondering, because I know there's a lot of different things you do. So how big is your collection of people?
Do you know the number, Annie? I think we have like 50 members right now, something like that. Does that sound about right to you?
It's about 60 active members, and we have about 40 or so people on our Friends in Art email list.
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, I mean, you guys are do a lot of stuff online, and I am presuming that this was going on before the big C. And so did COVID even change you guys at all?
It changed the way we host do our activities at the convention in a major way. The showcase prior to the COVID was live. And we had, in some years we had a house band, where we had that backed up artists, you know, potential acts. And I was the drummer, and we were an amazing group of musicians, who every year got together and, worked our butts off to pull this off and had a great time under a lot of pressure. It was run at the time by a guy named Gordon Kent, who was a really talented musician in his own right, and Mike Mandel, who's currently our president, who is also a musician in his own right. And we were pretty good. But when COVID happened, we changed the way we do business, and now everything is done virtually. You know, so folks send us stuff. We put it together. We have two terrific sort of engineers who put it together, and it's posted on ACB Media. It's played. In this case, it's being done on the last Friday in June, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't have the date in front of me, but that's when it is. And it will be, and then it's going to be rebroadcast live for those who are going to be attending the convention in person the following next couple of weeks afterwards. So, and you know, what's going to happen in the future? I have no idea. You know, the virtual version has gotten so much positive comments. People seem to really like it. And so I am sort of worried that there won't be enough talent who actually can afford to go to the conventions to make it worthwhile to do it live anymore. But you know, that over time we will determine that. But we have such talent who sent us stuff that we are very happy with the way things have turned out as far as the show is concerned. Similarly, the other activities were all live, and this year again we're doing them all or almost all online.
Okay, so just so I can understand, so let's talk a little bit about the showcase. Do you still have time to people still have time to apply?
They do.
Okay, because I helped you with this last year, and that was a lot of fun.
You did. Yes, you did.
You were wonderful. She was one of the co-hosts.
That was a lot of fun.
Along with Annie, right?
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, the two of you, Q, did a fabulous job. And so what we ask people to do, if you want to participate, is to send us something that you'd like us to be included in the showcase. There are a number of requests, one of which is that the performance is under 5 minutes. The other request is that it's family friendly. So, you know, we really don't encourage profanity. We know that happens in music and rap a lot. And it's, sometimes that's wonderful, but not for this event.
I agree.
We ask you to send your samples or a link to where we can find your stuff to, what's the address, Annie?
showcase@friendsinart.org.
So showcase@friendsinart.org. And we don't guarantee everybody who sends stuff in will get on the show, because the show runs no more than 2 hours. We look for something like 20 acts or 22 acts or some, whatever the number right. 10 ends up being. But we look for a variety of different stuff. We especially like original stuff, whether it be poetry or music. Well, you know, we like other stuff too, but if you did original stuff, that's wonderful. And we also prefer up-tempo stuff. People tend to send us sort of ballads. And ballads, yes. Ballads are wonderful, but we if you send us something that's upbeat and a bit quirky sometimes, that really helps us pace the show. If there's too many ballads, it's hard for us to keep the mood properly. So,
right.
But we will accept anything, and then we figure out who's in and who's out, and then we figure out in which order we'll do it, and that's how it works.
So, and the deadline is May 20th.
May 20th. Okay. So it's a month from
still,
today, right?
Still
today
got is some April time. 20th. Still got mm-hmm. some time.
Yeah.
So, and you're saying that people can kind of submit anything that they're doing, and you're doing it. You're not doing it live this year.
We are not.
Okay, so same as last year.
Same as last year.
And did you have people missing the live part? Or, I mean, I thought it sounded really good last year. Did you get any response that people were missing having it performed right in front of them?
We have never got any feedback about that at all. People seem to absolutely love what we did. Now, it's going to be different this year, because in the past 2 years, the convention was totally virtual. So this year, you know, people may say, hey, you know, why isn't the showcase live? And, you know, so we may have that conversation, but for the past 2 years, we haven't. It's been, I mean, people have just loved what loved what we've done. We've gotten very, very little negative feedback. That's all I can say about that.
Okay, so
I think the other thing is, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Annie.
I think we get a bigger variety of performers when we do it virtually, because they're not limited by whether or not they can get to the convention or pay for travel, or you know, in terms of but then we had COVID, and that, you know, so people, I think, you know, just having been part of it, you know, and done the live piece and then going over to the virtual piece, I'm really impressed with the variety that the virtual showcase attracts.
One thing I think too is that if you're one of those people that likes to lay tracks, that's a little easier to do.
Yes.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Digital virtuosos. Yes.
And that's allowed, right?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, we, as I said, we like original stuff. So if you lay down your tracks and send us a really polished something or other in whatever style you like, we'll take it seriously.
So we were just talking about the Friends in Art Showcase that you have until May 20th. And can you just repeat that address one more time, Annie?
Showcase at friendsinart.org.
Great. Let's talk about the convention. I don't know if you can speak a little bit about the ACB convention, American Council of the Blind, that's coming up this summer. And I don't know the dates, but I presume you guys are going to have some live stuff there.
We actually, the only thing that we're going to have live is a post, the banquet. First of all, the dates of the convention are July 1st through 8th. That's the date of the in-person convention. We'll talk about the virtual convention in a second. So the in-person is from July 1st through July 8th. On July 6th, which is a Thursday, is the annual ACB banquet. And after the banquet, we're going to be hosting a showcase listening party where folks can hang out together with an open bar and sort of listen to the show. And there'll be a surprise guests from Friends in Art people who will be there. I'm hoping some of our scholarship folks will be there. And so folks can get to meet and greet some of the people. And we just hope it'll be sort of a nice way for folks to unwind from the craziness of the convention.
Do you know why are they having it over 4th of July weekend?
Because the hotel rates are cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yep. I think that's the answer. Because people tend to be doing other things on the 4th of July rather than, going to convention centers, fireworks and swimming and drinking beer and barbecues and whatever else they do on the 4th of July. And so that hotel rates tend to be cheaper that week.
So what are your thoughts on, because it sounds like you guys are going to be having a virtual presence. Do you think, I'm just curious of the numbers of live participants that are going to show up.
We are too. we are too. And I'm sure the officers are as well. There was an email that came across my desk from somebody from ACB who said that it was costing him $1,000 to get a round trip ticket from wherever he lived to Omaha, which is where the convention is. And I worry how many of us can afford $1,000 round trip tickets. I certainly can't.
Right.
And it's a real puzzle. I don't know how they're going to deal with this, but it's time to experiment. We've done this totally virtually for 2 years, and it's time to move forward and see what happens. But I really do worry about the gap between those who can afford to attend and those who can't, and that's why we're doing ours virtually.
And I wonder what they will do with the exhibit halls. Are they still going to have a virtual presence with the exhibit halls? Do you know?
They are, but there will be in-person exhibitors as well. But one of the questions that, I would ask as an exhibitor is, the hours for them are really, really long. It's like Sunday through Thursday. I'm making this up. Sunday through Wednesday from essentially, 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon or 9 to 5 or whatever the hours are.
Yeah, they're long.
And if they're not enough people to populate the exhibit room, why go?
Exactly.
It's a lot of money and it's a lot of time. So these are all questions that have to be wrestled with over the next couple of years. But there will be some kind of virtual stuff as well for them.
And in a sense, that has really changed the course of how things are held in general. But I do think, as not just a blind person, but as a blind person as well, you lose something not being able to or not going in person. At the same time, there's the whole safety thing too. But
and for me, it's not a safety issue. I mean, I'm healthy and I don't worry that. For me, it's a cost issue.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, for me too.
It's a cost issue. I mean, for those who can afford it, that's wonderful. But most people, that I know can't.
Right.
And how do you wrestle with that? I don't know the answer to any of those questions. But that's something, and it's not just us. Every organization who has national conventions is going to have to deal with this stuff. Right. You know, this is an issue that is being written about in the business press. I read stuff about this all the time because my real thing is an organization psychologist. So I read stuff, and these are issues that are being addressed and wrestled with by every business, you know, trade association out there. And so, you know, this will all shake itself out for all the next 2 or 3 years, I think.
But I do think there is a safety / health issue that is here too.
Of course.
You know, I think there are the people who care and who want and who have gotten vaccinated and whatnot. But let's face it, you get enough unvaccinated people or sick people in the room, it's pretty hard to fight that. And so I'm sure there's some concern on what to do. And I'm sure ACB as well as the other team will be kind of searching this out in the next couple of years of what, you know, they're going to do with this.
Just like every other organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like every other organization. You're right. And safety is a big deal. And, you know, will we be required to wear masks during, you know, during programs? That's still up in the air, last I heard.
Or especially maybe in the exhibit hall.
In the exhibit hall.
Yeah.
Or in the general sessions, right? You know, where there are lots of people.
Right.
High contact areas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So all that question still has not been, to the best of my knowledge, has not been determined yet. Except that Nebraska is pretty lenient when it comes to masks. So, you know, my guess is it's going to be voluntary.
Well, everyone is right now.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Fair point. Fair point.
But, you know.
Fair point. Yeah.
So what is Friends in Art doing currently? You guys have been doing quite a bit of different things with scholarships and things like that. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, let's talk, since you mentioned the scholarships, every year we give a scholarship of $1,500 to somebody, a student, either a high school or a college or graduate student, who is getting some kind of arts-related degree, whether it be as a musician, as a visual artist, as a writer, as a recording engineer, as an arts therapist, you know, whatever it is. And we're actually just in the process of evaluating applications as we speak. We are interviewing a few folks on Saturday. We'll make a decision, I'm assuming, pretty soon afterwards. And we've had, over the past 2 or 3 years, we have been so thrilled with it, with the folks who we've given scholarships to. Annie's on the committee as well. Just terrific, just really talented, terrific people.
Yes.
This year it's obviously too late, but we hope that next year folks who know of people who are students in the arts will consider applying.
What's the general timeline that you're doing that whole scholarship thing?
The deadline this year was Valentine's Day. So it'll be probably around the same next year, say February 14th of 2023. And you fill out an application form, which you can get through going to the ACB website, acb.org, and clicking on scholarship, whatever. I think it's called scholarship information or something. And you fill out an online application. You send in your documentation, which in this case is proof of blindness, proof of transcript, and 2 letters of reference from people who, you know, professors or whoever who know you well. And we, look at that stuff and figure out, you know, first who we're going to interview. So anyway, the deadline is in February, and this gets sort of complicated, but essentially the Friends in Art crowd don't start reviewing scholarships until this year. We didn't start really until mid-April. Early April. And so we try to get it done as quickly as possible. So those, you know, the winner can, you know, knows he or she is going to get, $1,500 toward their scholarship and can plan accordingly. And those who don't win, you know as well. As I said before, we've been so pleased with the caliber of applicants. I'm just humbled by the talent that's out there.
And I'm presuming that to be in Friends in Art, you have to have a visual disability. And you may have other disabilities, but you have to have a visual one?
Technically not. But in order to be on the board or an officer, you have to have a visual impairment.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, if folks want to join us, you know, as members, as sighted folks to support us, we are thrilled. And in fact, we've had sighted folks at conventions to help us when the showcase was live to help folks get an on or off stage, which is a major challenge. You know, think about it. People getting on, they do their thing. And as
the mad scramble,
the next person gets on the stage, and it's a major undertaking. And we've been just thrilled to have volunteers help us with all that. If it doesn't go smoothly, if that part doesn't go smoothly, the showcase doesn't go smoothly. So it's a major part of the ballet, if you will.
So besides the current getting ready for the current showcase, are you guys doing other things right now? What's happening?
So Annie, you want to talk about some of the activities that we're doing virtually in June?
So we're doing a number of things for Friends in Art from June 23rd to 25th.
We got that.
And then on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, we have a non-traditional artists panel with artists from San Francisco, California. They're a collective of artists, and they're going to talk to us about what it's like having a show. Gallery, and gallery the pieces, and the curator will be there. And so we're going to have a discussion about what that's like. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have an effortless editing panel with a number of professional editors and writers. And we're going to have a lot of, Q&A and interaction with them. And I'm really looking forward to that because we have someone from National Bear Press that's going to be there. We have someone that I know from a literary magazine for people with disabilities called Breath and Shadow. They're going to be there. A number of other, authors. And so it'll be fun.
And are they critiquing or what are they doing?
Basically, I haven't really figured out the questions yet. But I think we're going to focus on what it means to edit a piece of your own versus someone else's piece, how to keep professional relationships on a positive level, some of the struggles you have when you need to, share with a writer, their work needs some work, and how to keep that that level of professionalism when you're talking about, so things that are so subjectively, you're involved with. So I think that'll be really, informative, because I think a lot of editors don't talk about those things. They don't talk about the day they had, was mm-hmm. frustrating, they struggled with a writer over changing a word,
right?
Or something. It seems so unimportant when you think about, it's just a word, but it's not. It's an investment in your creativity. And I think we'll have some good discussion about it.
What's interesting, and I don't know if, I feel like my first reaction to somebody once, because I said, let me explain. I know more and more people nowadays are editing their own stuff, or, it's less expensive, or can be, if you can edit your own things and publish your own things. But one of the things I feel like I'm finding more errors. And I'm not sure that it really is happening more than it ever did before. But I think maybe it's because I read more of other people's things now that I do see, I feel like I see more grammatical or spelling errors. So that's interesting. And I do a combination. I'll listen audibly as well as I do read a lot of Braille too. So, mm-hmm. I think sometimes between the two, you can catch
that one. That's
so,
my problem.
Oh, hello, Peter.
Speech on demand.
Sorry.
I can hear you.
Never mind. Keep going.
Okay. So anyway, that's my, and I don't know, I didn't really expect you to say anything to that unless you've noticed something, but.
I actually have a comment about that, but before I say that, I want to say something. That when Annie and I had talked about this effortless editing session, mm-hmm. one of the things that Annie brought up, which I thought was really interesting, was how editing is different now than it was, say, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That certain things, and I hope that, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that as well, that there are things, like one thing I didn't know, for example, is in the old days, poetry, every line in a poem was capitalized. Not so much anymore. And it's things like that that I think are worth discussing a little bit as well. They're, that make a difference. So I'm looking forward to co-facilitating that session with Annie.
Well,
and I'm very much looking forward to that sort of non-traditional visually impaired artists. I think they'll be absolutely fascinating.
And it is different that things have changed. And like when I was growing up, I always was taught two spaces after a period. Two spaces.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, now, exactly. People,
so do you think, is that laziness that some things are happening for, or is it just a change in how things are being done? And is it better or not?
I think it's based on digital, it's based on digital work. Everything is on the computer now. And I mean, think about, block editing. You know, there's no such thing as indenting anymore. It's all in blocks of text. The shorter, the better. You know, people expect supposedly people's attention spans have shortened to like till they're 4 years old, and no one wants to read long blocks of text on the computer or on their mobile devices. They want to just flick through and get what they need and move on. And
well, I think we've
created, you know, that's one extreme of that.
I think technology has created some of that short attention span thing. I don't think that it's really, I think people are capable of it, but society has kind of created the whole, you don't have to idea.
Well, there's another complexity to this as well, as I see it, is that we are so fragmented as a culture that there are different sort of dialects of writing. So there's the writing for the so-called common person, but then you have legalese, you have bureaucraties, you have, you know, academies, you have legalese, you have, you know, fill in the blank, you have sportsies.
You have MLA style versus APA style. You have professional versus, you know, conversational. And they all have their own rules and, you know, as a writer, you've got to be able to be pretty conversant in all of those things to be successful.
And I agree with that. And I think that we forget. I know I did before I started writing. I was so used to writing in sort of journalese or, you know, psychologies that I took a professor and said, hey, you need to write in English. You know, I mean, seriously. I mean, that and I think there's a lot of that going on. And it's a real challenge for an editor and for a writer. You know, who is your audience? And when I do write, I am conscious, who am I writing for? You know, and I think it's more important now than it was 20 years ago.
What would you guys like to see for Friends in Art in their future?
I personally would like to see a more diverse group of folks. I am really making an effort to work with, Annie mentioned this as well, to working with other ACB affiliates. She mentioned Next Gen, which is the affiliate for ACB members under 40. We have so many different groups that we know have arts talent that we really could benefit from, and they could benefit from joining us. And so we're making more of an effort to reach out to those groups. I'd like to see more of that. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this non-traditional arts session is that we might be able to sort of branch out and do and support more of that, those folks doing that kind of work. We've been talking more about musicians, and I'm proud of the work we've done for musicians and writers, but you know, we can do a lot more. There's a lot more we can do. And so I would like over the years to do more of that. The other thing I'm speaking for myself, not for Friends in Art specifically, is if you look at what NFB is doing, the other blind advocacy organization, National Federation for the Blind Artists are doing exactly sort of the same things that we are. You know, we're covering similar ground, and I'd like to see us figure out ways of working together on a project or
I
two
think
down
that's,
the road.
That would be very, very commendable. Don't know if it'd be doable, but I totally agree. I think there's a lot of things though that people need to learn. And I think if people look at the AARP, you can look about numbers, and stuff happens in numbers. You get things done in numbers. People listen to you more in numbers. There's a lot of that can be said for that. So hopefully, you know, there's got to be some, quote, common ground, right, Peter?
Yeah. No, I mean, it sort of embarrasses me when I look at some of their stuff because I'm on a couple of their lists. And, you know, and 90% of the stuff that they're doing is similar to what we're doing. You know, and I just it's just so frustrating. You know that we're doing the same kinds of things, and I suspect, but I don't know for certain, that there is some work being done behind the scenes by officers of both groups. But it's frowned upon. I mean, you know, I'm sure we all have stories. I know I do, where people accuse me of being a traitor because I want to do certain things with ANFB, and it's like, come on, guys, grow up. You know, and there's a history that I do respect. There's a reason. I understand why the organization split up, but there's just too much work to do to sort of, you know, and cringe on each other's turf.
It's time to come together and work on the things that can be accomplished by both parties.
That's really the way I look at it.
That's through the whole world, by the way.
That's true. That's another conversation. But
that's right.
I would like to see Friends in Art to get a podcast that just that everybody wants to listen to. I think that's part of the future, part of bringing in the younger people, bringing in other artists. We're, you know, right now I think the Art Parlor, we're practicing and you know, making plans for something better for the future. And that's really what I, you know, if I had one special project, that would be the special project.
So you might want to know, Sam, what the Art Parlor is. Is that a question you were about to ask?
Please tell us.
Yes. So the Art Parlor, we this sort of started around the time when COVID started. We were trying to figure out, okay, what can we do differently to continue to be relevant? And what we decided to do was to interview an artist who was, or somebody involved with the arts who is blind or visually impaired, and do a sort of an hour-long sort of informal interview as if you were in a parlor, you know, drinking a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever your beverage of choice is, and just have a very informal conversation about who they are, what they do, why they do it, and what advice they might give to folks who want to, you know, go down the path. So today, in fact, we right before we joined you guys, we did an interview with a woman named Satana
Howry,
thank you, who is a vocal artist. You know, she does the voiceover stuff. And, you know, and there's so much interesting things that blind artists are doing that we don't know about. And I, you know, so our thought was, so we record the podcasts, they're posted on, you know, the usual places, and they're played by the ACB media crowd several times a month. So we've had great success with that, but Annie's right. We could do a better job with them and do more with them, and I'm hoping we can do more of that. But what we're doing is pretty good already. We can do better. We can do better though.
Is there
Sam? We even have you as a guest.
That's right. You were a guest, as I remember.
I know. Yes. Where do those get? Do they get stored anywhere?
They get stored on ACB Media. Pinecast. We're working on getting them all loaded onto our website, friendsinart.org, but you can go to ACB Media and find them through the Friends in Art Art Parlor podcast. It'll have all the episodes listed.
Fabulous. And there is a direct link, which I don't remember that you can get to, but I'm sorry. We should have been better prepared for that question. In any case, they are accessible.
We need to wrap it up, but I want to ask you guys, is there any final things you'd like to leave us with?
Come join us. You know, listen to the showcase. It will be heavily publicized when it gets closer to the event. So keep an eye out on whatever media you look at. Listen to us. You know, if you enjoy us, you know, tell us what you think. Or if you don't enjoy us, tell us what you think. And we are always looking for more talent, you know, and more people willing to do. We even talked a lot about our advocacy efforts that we've done, primarily in the area of music and museum accessibility. But we're always looking for people with interest, you know, with problems to solve or to be a part of solving. You know, things are so different than when Friends in Art started, and we need to roll and you know, move forward with the times, and we need people to help us do that.
Charlene is my research, part of my research team. Did you have any questions for Peter or Anne, Charlene?
No, I really don't. It sounds like you guys are really coming out of your shells and moving forward in some really big ways.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Well, thank you guys very much for being on. And Anne, we will see you in a couple weeks. For all those who don't know, Anne is going to be talking about her newly released book. And so I'm excited to talk to her about that in 2 weeks.
Can't wait.
Thank you guys very much for being on.
And thank you for the opportunity.
Yes. Well, thank you. And that will do it for our show tonight. But I hope you guys will email me and chat with me and talk about what you'd like to hear on future disability and progress shows. We always welcome that. You can reach me by emailing disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. That's disability and progress, all written out, at samjasmine, JASMINE.com. And we are very happy to be doing the show and are grateful for our listeners. This is Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show and the engineer. And Charlene Dahl is my research team. Tonight, we were speaking with Anne Chiappetta, who is an author and writer, and Peter Altschul, who is also an author or writer and is also a musician. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. Our email address is disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Fresh Fruit is up after the mini culture piece that'll be coming at the end of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in and stay safe.
KFAI.org.